Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
For decades, African Americans and even others have heard or passively celebrated Black History Month across the United States of America. But it seems as though few really understand the meaning and purpose of this celebration, a very important celebration. Tonight we're going to speak from the topic, the father of Black History Month. And we're talking about Dr. Carter Godwin Woodson, 1875 to 1950. So, welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. As we promised, we're going to, throughout the month of February, this is Black History Month, and we're going to offer you historical information, and specifically, we're going to tie it into how we can provide lessons of hope and upliftment, particularly to at-risk African-American males across urban America, and certainly anyone else can benefit from those lessons as well. We're going to, as we promised in our last episode, we're going to look at least three different figures, but our primary focus tonight is Carter G. Woodson. Let me take a moment to invite you to give us a call here live. If you're just listening, tuning in for the first time, we're grateful to have Pastor Ricky Waller with us, our regular panelist. And if you're tuning in with us for the first time, you can call the show tonight and call us here in the studio at 657-383-0944. That's 657-383-0944. Got about an hour and a half together, roughly. We encourage you to give us a call, share your comments. We're going to, as we normally do, offer our monologue, which gives us some sort of context or background for our conversation tonight. Got some very important questions that we want to try to answer tonight for our listening audience. But before I move further, let me take a minute to recognize Gerda, if you're listening, Chief Shelton, as well as Mr. Parks. I believe they may be tuning in tonight. Daniel Gordon, what do you say? Mario Abney, Kenya Shelton, Elizabeth Sanford. Please give us a call here, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call in tonight at the in the show. You don't necessarily have to offer your name, but we are happy to entertain your question or comments. All we ask is that you keep it relevant to our topic. And again, that topic tonight is the father of Black History Month, Dr. Carter Godwin Woodson. All right. Having said all of that, we're going to move into our monologue without further ado. And again, you can feel free to join us here in just a few minutes. Second Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The good news tonight, February 6, 2018, there's hope for change. Carter Godwin Woodson was an American historian, author, a journalist, and the founder of the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. He was one of the first scholars to study African American history. A founder of the Journal of Negro History in 1916, Woodson has been noted, rightfully so, as the father of Black history. Dr. Woodson was born in Buckingham County, Virginia, on December the 19th, 1875, son of a former slave. His father was James, and his mother was Eliza Riddle Woodson. His father helped with the Union soldiers during the Civil War and later moved his family to West Virginia when he heard that in Huntington there was a school being built for blacks. Coming from a large, poor family, Carter Woodson would not regularly attend school. You see, that was the way it was, particularly in that time. They had to work in the fields and things of that nature, sharecropping and so forth and so on. He was born after the Civil War and so forth, and the sharecropping system was very much in effect. But his self-determination caused him, through self-instruction, teaching himself, to master the fundamentals of common school subjects by the age of 17. Wanting more education, though, being determined, he went to Fayette County to earn a living in a mining coal fields and was able to devote only a few months each year to formal education. In 1895, though, at the age of 20 years old, Woodson entered Douglas High School, named after Frederick Augustus Douglas, also the father of black voting. In 1897 to 1900, Woodson taught at Winona and Fayette County. In 1900, he was selected as the principal of Douglas High School. He went from not being able to go to school at all to becoming the principal of the high school. Earned his bachelor's degree in literature from Berea College in Kentucky in 1903, taking classes part-time between 1901 and 1903. Woodson later attended University of Chicago, where he was awarded an A.B. and an A.M. in 1908. He completed his Ph.D. in history at Harvard University in 1912. Now, he was the second Negro or African-American after William Edward Burghardt Du Bois to do so, to receive such a high degree from Harvard University. Let me just give you a little background on his relation to Black History Month. Now, the precursor to Black History Month was Black History Week, which was started in 1926. Okay. When the historian Carter Woodson and the Association of the Study of Negro Life and History announced the second week of February to be Negro History Week. This week was chosen because it coincided with the birthdays of the father of black voting and the president who ended slavery and subsequently set the stage for the 13th Amendment. And after his death, Frederick Douglass kept pushing. That was Abraham Lincoln we're talking about. Douglass kept pushing for the 14th Amendment, which gave rights of citizenship to former slaves, and subsequently the 15th Amendment, which enabled them to vote and choose who represented them in government office. Abraham Lincoln's birthday was on February the 12th, and Douglass was on February the 14th. He saw these two individuals being so pivotal that as a student of history and as a benefactor of their efforts, he saw fit to recognize the importance of that historical event that came up with Black History Week. Now, something that we should understand, and that is Dr. Woodson started this Black History Week celebration in 1926 because he felt like it was important to encourage a coordinated effort of teaching about the history of Negro, black, and colored folk in America. Okay? And he thought that this lesson needed to take place in public schools. You'll recall that we just talked about how he struggled with his formal public education, circumstances dictated otherwise, but he saw the need for that. Okay? Now, Black History Month itself, though, others picked up off of the efforts of Dr. Woodson. In fact, it was first proposed by black educators in the United States at Kent State University in February of 1969. This was about 9 years after Woodson passed. The first celebration of Black History Month took place at Kent State 1 year later in 1970. 6 years later, Black History Month was being celebrated all across the United States of America in educational institutions, where there were centers for black culture and community centers and so forth, large scale and smaller. This had such a profound effect on America that then President Gerald Ford recognized Black History Month during the celebration of the United States Bicentennial Celebration. And subsequently, he saw fit to make that a national celebration. And here we are in 2018 with such. Okay? Now, just briefly, let me talk about one of the, this, as a student of history, this was one of my favorite works. In fact, when I was running Chicago like a little hood rat and goon in the streets, somebody told me, son, you need to get something in your head, you understand? And one of the first people that I paid attention to reading and fell in love with was the subject matter of Dr. Woodson in his, one of his books entitled The Miseducation of the Negro. You see, he was talking to me. Well, book Miseducation of the Negro was originally published in 1933 by Dr. Woodson. His thesis purported that during his day and time, black people were only being indoctrinated, okay, manipulated, rather than being taught in American schools. Subsequently, he said that the condition of just being indoctrinated caused blacks to become dependent and to seek inferior-type places in society and to satisfy with mediocrity, right? And never to aspire to own or to do anything beyond what they've been trained to do. Now, he challenged his readers, though, to become astute and to move themselves well beyond that. In fact, one of the quotes from his book, and ironically, I taught in a public school in Nashville, and I had this book on my desk for the whole year. I've had young people to get into fights and knock my things over on the desk, some things, some of them to steal things from my desk, others to just come and sit at my seat. But this book stayed in the same corner on the desk, so much so that at the end of the year you can see the dust around where the book was. Unbeknown to these young people, a crisp $100 bill was in the book. In between the pages where this quote lies, I was trying to get them to steal from me. Listen to the quote. When you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. You do not have to tell him not to stand here or go yonder. He will find his proper place and will stay in it. You don't need to send him to the back door. He will go without being told. In fact, if there is no back door, he will cut one for his special benefit. His education makes it necessary. Man. The number 657-383-0944. Give me a call. Get in where you fit in. Looks like little Ruben is watching us tonight. Welcome to Talk Straight, son. Hope it's not too cold in Cleveland. Pastor Ricky Waller, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm all right, Pastor Doctor. How you doing?
Man, I'm trying to hold in the road.
Oh, yeah. I can see. I can tell. You're doing a good job at it. Yes,
it gets rough sometimes, Pastor. Get rough sometimes.
Yeah,
what about
man,
Dr. Woodson, Pastor Waller?
Say it again.
What about Dr. Woodson, Carter G. Woodson?
Man, I'm very much interested in learning. You know, I was listening to you share about him, and the thing that I got the most is that it gave me a chance to recall and to look back, and I want to thank God for giving me a chance to be awakened at this point because I missed it. You know, I missed it, man. I guess I was bent over in a fetal position, bowed down and nodding, as you would say, you would think, in a deep sleep, you know, while walking around with my eyes wide open, ears wide open, but couldn't hear truth no kind of way. So I dealt with the lie. And, so to hear that, I often wonder, you know, about, you know, how it became something so, I guess, valuable to the Black History Month or Black History Week. Or, you know what I mean? I think I'm Black every day, so why does it have to be for a week or month? And, you know,
okay.
it's just interesting to me, man. And I'm trying to find the value in it. I'm trying to, because I heard you say something about that book and what the $100 bill it had in it. And I was just thinking that one day them guys would even at some point stumble over there and open up the book and see the $100 bill in there and maybe look at it as a bookmarker or something and remind you that you just left a $100 bill in the book. And I don't know, man. Nobody
ever
bought that book. Yeah, nobody. We try to get them to steal from you and they didn't open the book up one way or the other. So, man, that's amazing, man. You had that money in that book the whole year, you said. And,
let me tell you how they found out it was in there.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, now, I would open a page occasionally to check and see if it was still there, right? And
yeah,
I had
okay.
five different classes, man, that would come in from the morning to the afternoon. And I just knew one of them, somebody from one of them classes was going to hit me up, right? Well, at the end of the year, Pastor, I picked the book up from where it was, dust stains still there, and I just opened the page and let the $100 bill fall out. If we had known, man, we didn't know that, boy, that would have been gone.
You already admitted they didn't let you know it would have been gone. Huh? That's amazing, man. You said it would have been gone.
You know why I do what I do? You know why I do what I do, Pastor? Because I love my folk, man.
I believe that.
But I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm going to tell you something. We've got to start loving ourselves better. There are great opportunities in reading and obtaining knowledge and information. And if you deprive yourself, see, what Carter was talking about in miseducation is that young people in the last 30, 40 years, they said, you know what, we ain't going nowhere with this education thing. It ain't helping us none. So why should we be interested in it? I'm not saying I agree with their position, but this is where they are. Mm-hmm. And so until it's free now. There used to be a time in America when even a white man could be hung to teach a Negro to read. You understand what I'm saying? In fact, Frederick Douglass, when he escaped from slavery, he had a white woman teach him how to read.
Ooh,
and he appreciated her for that. Her life was in jeopardy. But now it's free, and too many young people have been conditioned, sir, to look for the handout and to rely on something or someone else to provide for them, and they find themselves on the periphery of the best opportunities.
And I wonder sometimes about that, you know, what's causing it? You know, what is it? Is it something that can blind the minds of the people without them knowing it? Is it intentional? You know, is it something that is it a learning that comes from it that causes a person to not want to read? I mean, everything that I'm believing in life, you know, if you get into it, it becomes a learning.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Whether I'm willing to learn or not, I mean, that comes down to a personal thing, as I would believe. And when you have things placed before you, and even if it's just a game that they're playing in the community, you know, to learn how to do it, you have to step up to it. And I'm looking back now. I'm having one of those flashbacks, you know, going down to the community center and just learning all the different games that they was playing. And, you know, found myself pretty interested in a lot of them. But then you talking about reading, you know, putting a book up there with a $100 bill in it, you know, believing that one of the kids was going to at some point pick the book up, you know, and you saying today, what is the value of it today? I mean, is it any value in it at all? Because you saying that why should they even find an interest in it at all? What is
right.
it going to benefit them? You know, when
correct
when the
correct.
When the street life has a lot of things for them to read.
There you
and
go.
I believe it,
see,
and I believe that people have been reading it.
See, Pastor, it seems to me, and I don't want to excuse me for cutting you off. It seems to me that the greatest interest is learning how to master street smarts in the hood. Are you with me?
Yeah,
and
sure.
Any other formal knowledge is not of a priority, because if I can get in where I fit in, I got it made. That seems to be where the mindset. Now, I don't want to say that this is everybody, but you and I know that there are some good brothers out there with talent and skills, untapped, who have this mindset or this construct of thought.
Yeah, man, I mean, it's there. I mean, it's something to not ignore. It's prevalent. I'll just put it like that. And more of it today, more so than ever, because it's been introduced in such a way that it looks like it's something to get into.
It.
You know, it just has that sound. It has a look. And I mean, much greater than the one that I got caught up into. And I just call it a trap.
True.
That's what it is. I don't look at anything less than that. And it's much stronger. The trap is much stronger now than ever, because it blinds your mind. And, you know, if your mind is blind, you can't see. You know, one may say, blind your mind. How you don't see with your mind? Oh, yeah, you get into that word, you find out that that's what the enemy, that's what he did, man. Blind the mind, man. When he gets that mind, that means that mind belongs to him at that point. Because, you know, it's the nature of making you not aware of the truth. See, and that's sad to say, but that's what's happening.
It is. It really is. But you're making a very, very important point, man, that and I want to emphasize that people, I don't say this to suggest that people are inherently bad, right?
Right.
But let's be honest about the condition and the circumstance here. Now, Dr. Woodson was so adamant and so concerned, he struggled himself. It wasn't like he had a silver spoon in his mouth, you know what I mean? But he was determined to help others to be educated and know about the positive things despite all that happened in slavery. And we got young people right now, man, that are out there in the mind of protest, and they have a right to be frustrated and uncomfortable. But listen, if you just knew about how these things can push you towards your own success, I mean, would that make a difference for you? What do you think? Maybe it's just me, Pastor.
No. No, it's not. It's not just you, man. I mean, you're making a lot of sense. And being that you have been in the arena, you know, you was around a lot of kids, and you've been, as you say, you care much about the kids, and so you became a teacher. You know, so you understand that, and that's where your heart is. And by reaching out, the only way, you know, one can become aware of that is somebody has to teach them.
Uh-oh.
And in school, I would share this with you. I heard it from a song years ago. It says,
okay,
nobody's been learning but the teacher. I was like, man, wow, man, wait a minute, hold it.
Uh-oh, watch out there.
Wait a minute.
That sounds like the Temptations, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, that's what I heard that. I heard that years ago.
Right.
You know, it's just amazing, man, that there's that way. And check this out.
Let me invite our friends. We'll continue talking. I enjoy speaking with you. But let me invite our listening audience to give us, this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller. Tonight we're talking about the father of Black History Month, Dr. Carter Godwin Woodson. This month, that's what we're going to do. And as I mentioned, these lectures, or mini lectures, if you will, come from our traveling lecture series. So when you hear me announce that, that's what we're talking about. These are the lessons and the information we bring. Pastor, I'm going to specifically, if you don't mind, go on a little break here, but I want to specifically talk about how what Dr. Woodson did and his contribution to African-American, Negro, Black history, how it can go in the trap house. Are you walking me with me, Pastor?
Okay, yes, sir.
And turn a messed up mind around. Can we do that after the break? Can we do that, Doc?
Yes, sir. I like that. That's interesting.
Okay. All right. Let me. excuse me. Let me do it this way. Pookie is in the trap house, and we need to get to Pookie. We need to get to him. But we'll be right back after this break.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we got Pastor Ricky Waller on with us, our regular panelist. Pastor?
Yes, sir.
While little shorty, Pookie, is out of his mind, zunked out in the trap house, trying to find fulfillment and to fill that void in his life, the rest of the world is going around, and it's people that make the world go round. We read that Dr. Woodson had a hard coming up. Folks were in slavery, right?
Yeah.
Had to work and hustle to try to make it. Couldn't go to school until he was 20 years old.
My goodness.
You supposed to have graduated by 18 now. He couldn't go till he's 20 years old. But he worked hard, man. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, I said, no, I said, picture that, man.
But he worked hard, man. Something in him knew that if I expand my mind and my horizon with knowledge, I will position myself to do different and better, even in the context of post-slavery, right?
Right.
What you think Lil Pookie would say if we came and we asked him for that, whatever was in his hand in the trap house, and say, come on, follow me. What do you think Lil Pookie would say?
It'd be kind of tough, man. It's according on how long he's been having it in his hand.
Say what? Yeah. Say what?
Yeah, it's according on how long he's been having it, that dealing with that in his hand, you know. If he have had that in his hand for a day, he might just, you know, turn around and follow you. It would be nice to see if he had it in his hand for, you know, a year or longer. You know, it might have been a thought, but it may have been a little tough. But just one day and whatever it is that he was about to do and he didn't do it, maybe he could follow it immediately.
But sometimes just
being able to put it out there, whether he follow you or not, you still get a chance to reach out. And the best way of going about that is recognizing that question is a pretty strong question. I myself had to deal with that. You know, one say, why don't you come to church? But I didn't go that day, but I heard him. I heard what he said, and I appreciate what he said, and eventually I did make that move. But, man, that's a tough one right there. You know, very tough. When you're dealing
but
with
you
the
know,
enemy. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm sorry, finish it. I apologize. No, finish it. I apologize.
Ahead.
Go ahead. No, finish it off. Finish it
off. Yeah, okay. I was thinking about, you know, how once upon a time, you know, knowing that I have been that person that you're talking about, because in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about it in verse 1 and 2, and you he had quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, and you see, and it says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, power of the air, children of disobedience. In other words, the spirit that worketh now, right now, in the children of disobedience. There's a lot of children that's disobedient to what has been said to them in such a way of saying, hey, come on and go, come on, do, follow me, this and that, and they won't do it because the power, you know, of the prince of the air, you understand? And then once your mind is blind, you know, you cannot just respond like you would like to if the power of darkness is upon you. And that's what's going on with most of the kids today. And I understand that, you know, and that's the thing about it. See, I have that understanding. I'm sure you do as well. But in order to do something about it, you have to reach out. You have to, because nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You know, nothing would happen if you don't reach out, man. It's nothing. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, Pastor, there were a lot of elite Negroes or black folk who were educated, like Dr. Woodson, who framed the argument that he's suggesting we miseducated because we're satisfied in our positions or with our status in society. And here he is suggesting we need to do more. Huh?
Wow. Well,
I don't need to go and start no business because I got a good job. I got an education and a good job. Where I need to go start a business. And they would argue that Carter G. Woodson was pushing for too much. In fact, he was unsatisfied and perhaps ungrateful. Okay. What say you?
Okay. No, I can't see that in there. And as I said, by me hearing what you're saying about this man, I seen compassion. I heard compassion. I believe that that's what it was. And, you know, it's that selfish thing that I was hearing from those other people who were saying that about him. And people who were saying that I already have a job, I already have this, I don't have to do this and that and maybe the other. But in other words, you say these people were educated. Is that correct? You know,
well,
who had
oftentimes, yes, oftentimes there are people, doctors, medical doctors, PhDs, lawyers, professionals, advanced level degrees who are satisfied in their career, their choice of career. And they would argue that that's enough.
Oh, my. Okay.
You ain't got to go start your own. Just work for somebody else and be happy.
Okay. Is it because starting your own means you're inviting other people to learn? You know, could that be something that's selfish and don't want nobody else to, from what I'm hearing you saying, and maybe have that sound to it? I don't know. I could be wrong. But
I'm walking with you.
Yeah. So you know I don't like to be wrong, you understand? But, man, when I heard that, it sounded like those brothers were so self-willed. They said, man, I'm not going to teach nobody how to do anything. I got mine, let them do theirs. And that mentality, man, in the kingdom of God system is I find no value in it myself because, and this is the reason why, this is the, and I say this, you know, with a genuine heart. For myself, I had a chance to look at it, and I said, man, this here says, you know, esteem others more highly than yourself. And I said, that's powerful, that. You mean tell me that I should esteem others, can uplift others more highly than myself? It didn't say not to be concerned about myself. It just said esteem others more highly than yourself.
Correct.
And then it
says,
we who are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak. And not to please ourselves. So this sounds like this man was doing the work, brother. You know, it sounds like he had a great concern, you know, for people that he felt like needed some information that was appropriate and beneficial. And things like that. And still today I'm still, you know, dealing with this. And as I said, being asleep for so long, and then to be awakened now, and to say, why is it, you know, that, you know, the Word of God would say God is no respecter of person, and then to bow down to someone and say, I can't do nothing unless you allow me to. Amen. Listen, I mean, how terrible that sound of that, man, you know, when this is the day that the Lord God has made and he tells us to rejoice and to be glad, and then I'm around here acting like somebody else made this day. I had to wait for somebody to give me the instructions in order what to do. Man, that right there, and it's so powerful, that's where the mind is being blinded. You know, when you can blind a person's mind like that and put before them some glamorous-looking things and some glamorous-sounding things, and make one feel glamorous in the feel. In those areas, sound, look, and feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there is overtaking a person's every thought. You know, the places they can go and the things that they are capable of doing, it seems like we become stagnated as if we don't know what to do. And that's where I'm heading at. You know, when is it we going to be able to stand up and allow God to lead and guide. You know, in church, I'm going to turn it back over to you, but I just found this something deep in my spirit here. You know, the Spirit of God shares with me. The sound of being able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. Now, picture that part. I shall not want. That means if he's my shepherd, then I qualify for something because I know he's my guide. Why is it so hard to trust him when we claim he's our shepherd? I'm people that attend church now. I'm not talking about people that don't know him. Because
it sounds like you're trying to preach on me.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking to. You know,
go ahead.
They're supposed to be who they are, you know what I mean? Because they don't know him to be their shepherd. See, you can't go to a funeral, which I've done, you know, been on plenty of them, and that's not saying something for the person that's lying there in the casket, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. No, if the Lord is my shepherd, that means that I trust him.
Right.
And if the Lord is your shepherd, that means you should saying you trust him. So why is it that difficulties lies at our feet and so much power that's in it, you know, the lack of trust.
Right.
You know, but we can trust in one who is telling us what to do, when to do it, how to do it. Like I'm incarcerated, like I'm behind bars, but I'm supposed to be free.
And then
I'm supposed to be free. Well, who is it going to tell me that I'm free, dude? I have to have somebody else to tell me that I'm free, or
watch
am I free
now.
Indeed? I'm just talking about Black History Month. I mean, that the Black History Week.
Talk to me, man.
Black
get
History,
with me now.
Hey, Black History, this is a Black History moment right here for me.
Day
in, day out, man. You know, I can't stand near the rest of my little life, you know, thinking that I'm not free, man. You know,
I
got to ask somebody, am I free? Can I be free? Let me be free. That to me is a disrespect to life within itself, man. And to sit back and think that it's fair and it's okay, you know, when it looked like, you know, all the killing that's happening with blacks, you know, amongst, you know, our own people, that we should love. We should be able to understand that it's okay to love ourselves. You understand? How can I love someone else if I don't love myself?
And
then this is happening in Black History Month over and over and over again.
Wow.
You know, so what's going on? Is it we're missing the teaching of it? Or, you know, because you brought up this guy right here. I'm just not being familiar. As I said, I slept for so long that I'm just willing to learn. You know, and I'm grateful that you brought it up because I know that you're in that field, man. And to bring that up, brother, you just sparked some fire right there. You know,
no, praise God.
And some say he was trying to do too much. What you mean he's trying to do too much? Why would you think he's trying to do too much? Don't you think we need something else, you know, that to add to our faith, to, you know, to add to our point of contact when it comes down to togetherness? What you mean? When you say this man is trying to do too much, you don't take all of that. Come on.
Let me say this to what you're saying. Now, here's the thing. When you think about what history is, it's really a record or some sort of evidence that you live and that there were events surrounding your life, right?
Yeah.
And
the
father of history, Herodotus, decided that we would write this down and we will document it in some kind of way and we will leave it for future generations. I really think, to your point, Pastor, that what Dr. Woodson was trying to do in his own way was to inspire young people to know that you are living history.
Okay.
And you are free to make history every day. Because 50 years from where we are right now, somebody can look back and say, listen to what Pastor Waller did. Guess what he said on February 6, 2018. You understand what I'm saying?
I got you. With an excitement. It should be some excitement right there, I think.
Right.
So that's what I got hearing about this man you were talking about. You know, it brought forth an excitement. So in the midst of the speed and the fast lane that brothers today as young, you know, will not take the time out because of the speed of what's been presented to them that would cause them not to be able to take time out. As you said, you was offering them, you know, some information and what you think the brother would do, you know, concerning what he's doing at that time. And I said to you that according to how long he's been doing whatever he's getting ready to do, I've been having this in my hand for 10 minutes or 10 hours or 10 weeks. I don't know. It may be hard to turn me at that point, but at least the word of God says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you put that out there to him, he mess around and hear it in such a way that no matter what the twist is at that time, he will not forget what you said. Now, that to me, it holds value, man, because that's what happened to me. I mean, this guy by the name of Pastor Cook.
Right.
That's what he says. He said something to me. You know, I didn't move on it that day or that week or that month or that year, but, man, it never went anywhere. It stayed with me. Yeah. And years later, you know, my life spun out of control, and I made that move, man, as a result of what he said to me. So keep doing what you're doing.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
Let me say this. I'm gonna kind of go hard here, Pastor, and I hope anybody that's listening or will listen to this later understand where I'm coming from. Now, the scenario that I drew was that Lil Pookie was in the trap house, strung out, out of his mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that I asked, what would you say, and I would apply that to me, if you went in the trap house and tried to take whatever was in Lil Pookie's hand out of it and replace it with information. Now, that was a scenario, y'all. But watch this.
Right.
Let me tell you something. It starts with tearing the trap house down. We have got to make the declaration that you can't have, I'm not going to have a trap house on my block or in my neighborhood, period.
Yeah.
And whoever tries to open up the trap house got to go, right? When you do that, Pookie ain't got nowhere to go and dope up, does it?
You're going to be locked in at that point. You know, he won't be able to be bound by whatever it is that's causing him. Yeah. And that's what we really need. And I'm going to say this because I like what you just said. And, you know, the plan of the enemy don't want that to happen. You don't want that to happen. You don't want nobody to step in, you know, and do something like that to make it known that, you know, on this block, you know, it's no longer a need for that. If, you know, once upon a time, you know, I think. No, it's not acceptable.
It's not a need.
Yeah, see, when it become a need, you know, it's like you got to have it, and that means that, you know, you have a hard time trying to do without it. So it's always a beautiful thing to make sure it's available. But when you get to a point and you realize that what you just said, Pastor, is that we don't need it on our block. I just put it like that. It's not even acceptable anymore because we don't need it. So you just think if we need it on our block, then it's acceptable. Make sure you bring it in. And matter of fact, bring more of it.
Right.
You know, because we have a need for it. But we don't have a need for that anymore, man. Once we realize that that stuff is not as valuable as we think it is, because that's where they got us at right now. They make us think that it's,
correct.
You know, it holds
that
here,
self-destructive element. You know, if we would equate that to Dr. Woodson, what he said about going through the back door, you know, because your condition said you'll tear a new back door for your own benefit. And that's what's happening. Yes, drugs were infiltrated or planted in particularly African-American neighborhoods at a certain time when we couldn't even afford them. But guess what?
Yeah.
We go out of our way now to make them available and to keep them there.
That's it, man.
And
now,
not all of them.
Yeah, go ahead.
And not all of us, but here's the catch. If you and I know better, Pastor, we sitting back watching, right? And we see what's going on. We know what's going on. We say nothing. Are we complicit?
No, we're being held accountable to me. I mean, that's just me.
We part of the problem, ain't we?
Yeah, man, that's not, it don't sit well with me. I'm just telling you that now. It don't sit well
all right.
with me. You know, let me tell you why I don't sit well with me, man.
Okay,
every time I think about it hurts me more and more. I thought maybe, you know, because I was forgiven and all that I won't even think about it no more. Man, it hurts me every time I think about it. And I think about it every day about what's going on, man. And it makes me feel real bad because I was involved in it. You know, that's what gets me, you know, is that I feel like I done wronged all these people, man. And then another generation coming in, man, I done wronged them and they wasn't even born. That kind of stuff. That's how heavy it is with me. So I don't agree with it at all. You know, I like what you said. I know that. And the time is coming that it's going to get to that point, and, You know, they're going to realize, man, we don't need that stuff around here. You know,
I won't,
need
not
it.
Only don't we need it, I don't want to
yeah.
even see it. I bet not even hear a tale of it. You understand
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And when people become that deliberate and focused, sir, now,
right.
if I got a brother that's strung out, you know, that's an addict, I'm not saying you dog him that you hate him, but you
mm-hmm.
love him enough to tell him the truth and enough to get him the help, he or she, the help they need, but to let him know, listen, this dog is not going to hunt here.
Right.
You're trying to chase rabbits with a poodle dog. That dog will not hunt.
Yeah, it's
huh?
not going to work out. Yeah, it's not going to work out. That's the bottom line. You know, yeah. That's
that
tough,
dog ain't
going to
hunt.
You know, because I often wonder, you know, why? Could I ask the question why? You know, a lot of times one man says, don't ask why. I need to ask why would one want to bring something to a place that would bring so much harm to innocent people, man? That
come on,
right
man.
There, man, when I think about that, I say it's got to be someone wicked to do something like that.
Right.
You know? I mean, and if you don't know no better, that's understandable to me. I mean, I got to say that. I'd be the first to say it. If you don't know no better, that's one thing. But I'm
that's
talking
right.
about if you want to know better and know what it's going to do, man, you got to be sure enough wicked.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you a question? You said if you don't know no better. How can you be an educated man or woman and don't know no better? Explain that to me like I'm 3 years old.
Man. That means that you...
Wait a minute. How can you be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, led by God every day, and you don't know no better?
And then you don't know no better, man. That's not good.
And you
good.
Don't know no better.
Yeah, now that's not good. You know, it sounds more like
you.
To me. Yeah, that's back to that sound, look, and the feel. You know, you say you say sanctified, the Holy Ghost feel, and you say
right.
it. Right.
Okay, and I ain't trying to knock
you
for that.
No, you're not. That's not what you're doing. But you say that
I
they
just
say
want to
that.
Understand. Yeah.
And to get understanding is not a bad thing. Because
if you
know better and you are seeing it unfold right before you, that to me saying, I don't need to get no permission from nobody else. I realize it for myself that it's going on, so I'm ready to do what needs to be done,
right.
you know, to make it known that
yeah.
it doesn't sit
yeah.
well with me. Yeah,
And Pastor, let's be clear. It's not just people that own drugs. If you lazy and if you depressed and if you don't have a clue as to what to do with yourself and where to go in life, that's a bigger problem too, isn't it?
It is. Laziness, you know, that's a powerful thing as well, you know, to be like that and to, you know, it's called idle time. And then when a person, I mean, it's a lot of it. And I've seen guys that were so dedicated, brother. Let
wow.
me talk about dedicated. I see some of the brothers in the street with the gifts and the intelligence that they have. But then that they have been controlled so strong. See, being out of the game as long as I have now, you've given me a chance to see this and to look at, you know, in a manner of compassion. Man,
mm-hmm.
these brothers could be out there and they know how to assist in their mind
yeah.
before they see the person come that they are going to ask them, can they do A, B, C, or whatever it takes, you understand what I'm saying, to be hired by them for 5 minutes, an hour, for however long it is, because that's what they do, idle time.
Right.
They don't go, you know, to a place of business and clock in for 8 hours or anything like that. You know what I mean? So they rather utilize their own way of doing it, and that's the mindset of the control that the enemy has placed in our community, man. And I watched it for a while. I'm glad I don't have a chance to see it no more like I used to. But, man, I watched it for a while. And, brother, it hurt me so bad because I didn't have all the things that I felt like I needed that I could give them brothers something to do. You understand what I'm saying? And pay them for doing it. That was on my heart. Wasn't able to do it because I didn't have the finances, man. I tell you, right. Brother, it made heavy on me, though. I got a chance to see it. So my heart is still right there to say, now I know that this was an intent, because sometimes for 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, them guys don't get a chance to do nothing but stand there on post like as if they were guarding something. Yeah, man.
Right.
And things like that. That was terrible, man, to see that. That's what kind of control, the thought of knowing that they work hard for a $5 hit if they can pump it up $5 to get it, or a $20 hit, whichever it was going to be. Man, they were standing there for so long, man, and man, I'm just telling you what I've seen for a long time, man, out in the streets, and I thank God for allowing me to be out in the streets with compassion to know the kind of work that's needed out there in order to do some things that you was talking about your man for so long. People were saying he was trying to do too much. Man, that right there, man. You know, is that the Carson guy you were talking about?
Yeah, Carter G. Woodson. Carter G. Woodson.
His
whole thesis, Pastor, is that we shouldn't be satisfied with just mediocrity.
Right, that's
simple
it.
Simple thing, little. We should be motivated and driven to do more and to have more and to give more. Right? And not get complacent or comfortable.
Without a doubt. I mean, to add to your faith, that means that you want to do more. And that's what he had. He had a heart for that. And matter of fact, you know, that's what he was on record. So that's beautiful. That I found, you know, that's worth knowing about, man. You know, school is in session. In other words, you know, as I say, man, you know, when the teacher is teaching and nobody's interested in learning but the teacher, man, that's not good. Yeah,
let me go to 804. Pastor,
go ahead.
I got a caller. Let me go to 804-1249 is the last four digits. Welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Great.
Have you been able to keep up with our dialogue? A question or comment that you'd like to share with us?
I just tuned in. I just turned my phone on.
Okay.
Yeah, praise God.
Yeah. So, friend, we've been talking about the impact and the contribution of Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who is the father of Black History Month. And the point that we've been really discussing is the fact that one of his most powerful works was this book, The Miseducation of the Negro. And in that, he did not settle and was not satisfied with getting his education. But he wanted, that's part of why Black History Month was started, because he wanted to encourage others to be aware of past events and, I believe, motivate them into the future. What do you think about that, caller?
Oh, that sounds positive, that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, I ain't gonna say a lot. Some Black people, man, they just they feel so defeated and looking what others have and they don't see a chance for themselves and they just shut the door to the real world, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and I was asking Pastor Ricky Wallace, our regular panelist who's with us tonight, I was asking him, caller, if we had to go to these young guys in their toughest moments and let them know their examples like Dr. Woodson and others as well, you know, what's the best way to reach them? Because when you look at Woodson's story, man, he struggled. He didn't have no silver spoon in his mouth. He was somebody who had it hard, you know what I mean? It came up hard. But he was determined to make a better life for himself. And any thought about that, Doc? How my friend, 1240-49, what would you, just off the top of your head, and I'm not saying that you have, you know, no right or wrong answer, but what would you say about how to catch these cats on the block when they're in the middle of their thing to say, hey, come here, little brother, you know what, let me share with you a different way?
That's how it works. That's how it works. You got to catch them one by one, you know, and pull them up, you know.
Right.
Time,
right.
You know, time play a big part in everything, you know.
Sure, sure. I think people are afraid, though. What do you think? Some of us are afraid that if I do that, I might lose where I am, and I may have to give up too much. So let me just go and stay in my corner. I want to do something, but I'm scared of what I might lose. You think that's a factor?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We could be cruel to each other at times like that.
Right. Yeah. That's why I say all the time, Pastor Waller, sometimes
mm-hmm.
people think when you're out there and you're doing and you're making a sacrifice that in some kind of way you think you're better than others, because who are you to stand out there and to push others to do differently? Don't you know we're comfortable now and, you know, things are cool with us right now. We done worked hard to get where we are. Go sit down somewhere.
Yeah.
But the
Not
truth
good.
Is, no, the truth is nobody's going to ever make it if you are afraid to move. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Y'all correct me. Come on, brother, help me out.
No, I would say if you will, you know, and thank you for calling in, brother. I want to let you know that as well. We appreciate you.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
the we got no good thing that I would hold from them who walk uprightly. So,
mm-hmm.
in other words, if we have information to take out there to the people, you know, it's like me using a great example of something that I love, and you know about it, Pastor Doc Ray, you know, in basketball. And
okay.
I don't play basketball on the basketball court because I don't have a big court of my own. But I have the basketball, and I can be inside the house with nobody else around. Nobody but the basketball and I.
You
and
the
basketball. I'm doing my thing, and I'm enjoying it. I'm doing all the things that I desire to do and more with it, you know. And I'm really, 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 you know, doing it to the point where I'm into it. Does that mean I'm showing off? Nobody's around.
Mm.
You know, so I get out into the world and see a basketball, because usually I hear a basketball bounce and it hits me. You know, I don't care who's bouncing the ball. It don't have to be me. Just the sound of the ball, it attracts my attention. And so
okay.
if I take the basketball and start to doing the things I was doing in the house by myself, I'm doing it outside now. Does that mean I'm showing off, or is it just something that I do?
Mm.
You see?
Okay.
So if I have knowledge and wisdom and understanding of the will of God, and I see the young brothers out there, and I'm reaching out to them, does that mean I'm showing off because I'm giving them information? See, that's the mentality that we have to freeze that, because
right.
that's not good.
Right.
Your gifts are, you know what I mean? You utilize your gifts, and I'm using that as an example.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in the house by myself. Nobody else is around.
Right,
and
right,
I'm
right,
in
right.
Why should I be ashamed of the gift of reaching out, or the gift of compassion, the gift of
catch this.
Catch this.
Because
yes, uh-huh.
you're the only one doing it. You make the rest of us look bad, man. You running the block hard, dude.
but that's not good, man, you know. But that's not good. You know, I'm
what
the
about
only
that
one
1249? You running the block hard, man.
It makes sense. You're right, though. It makes sense, but that's not good. Running the block hot. Well, what are you supposed to do?
I mean, you know, all of us are chilling, man, and you doing all that, you're going to make us have to do more.
Yeah, you know, step up and find out what your gifts are. You know, if it's drawing,
right.
if it's becoming, you know, whatever it is. You know what I mean? In other words, find something that you like, that you're interested in, anything what's causing self-destruction or corrupting
right.
our communities and things like that, because that's what has happened. See, if they can just make sure, and when I say they, whoever it is that's against us, death is not
right.
for us. And
right.
and that means that if you put something out there that's trying to harm me, I know you're not for me. You know, since me trying to pretend like that you're for me, you know what I mean?
That's
and,
right.
and I was already tricked by that. You know, I didn't know whether it was for me or against me. It didn't even faze me one way or the other because I wasn't thinking that way. I was thinking about the dollar bill, and I got this stuff in my hand, and I want to put something in my body. So now I'm double hooked. I'm hooked on getting the money and hooked on being on the drugs and putting it in my body. So it's a terrible thing all the way around. But who's causing it? You know,
sure.
that's That's the key. Who's causing it? Was it me? Or did somebody
right.
intentionally do that knowing that I was going to fall for it? And that's where it was at with me. So now I'm awakened now, so I don't fall for it now. It don't make no difference who bring it in. I'm not getting ready to do none of it. But that's
right.
because I learned that. But look how many people
okay.
that don't know that, man.
Okay.
Young people don't know that.
That's true. So let me just, if in case you're just tuning in with us on Facebook or on the Blog Talk platform here, you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're talking from the topic tonight, the father of Black History Month, Dr. Carter Goodwin Whitson. And we're going to be talking about Black history, offering you some Black history for the rest of February on Tuesday and Thursday night. Let me ask you gentlemen this question. Y'all know that Brown versus Board of Education, Topeka, Kansas, settled the landmark case where allowed Black people to go to school with whites, right? And you know Thurgood Marshall was a lawyer fighting for the NAACP. He became Supreme Court Justice. And he got Black folk in schools with white people. But today, are we benefiting from that? 1,209,
nope.
do you think we're benefiting
nope.
from that?
Nope. Because when we were separated in segregation, we was challenging ourselves. And That would very
say that again.
All right,
wow.
We was challenging ourselves.
That's interesting you say that, caller, because you don't see that drive and that motivation enough from, and I'm not saying everybody, don't get me wrong, but too many of our babies in particular have no drive or interest to learn anything, man, or to do anything beyond what goes on in the hood. Ain't no drive. What happened? What caused us to lose that drive, that motivation there? What do you think?
My brother, go ahead. Go ahead,
1249.
Yeah.
By separating us, it depleted our soul.
Mm.
It's kind of hard to explain, but, you know, when you got a bunch of brothers on the corner or anywhere, that's a Mr. Commandment that, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My goodness, brother.
And right here in Richmond, whenever they see a group of Black people gathering together, that's like on Broad Street downtown in Richmond,
right.
they just built the library. And Blacks used to come from different parts, you know, of the neighborhood where they come from, and just hang out. They made it their business to stop
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you said they made it a business to stop it?
They made it their business. It was all on the 6 o'clock news and everything. No mm-hmm. lottery in front of the library.
Wow.
We won't buy.
Wow.
So, brother, you were saying you were just hanging around, you know, enjoying each other's company, you know what I mean? The fellas joining together, you know, living and enjoying life with peace is basically what you're saying.
Yes.
And they didn't like that?
See, I believe membership in that new state library was up amongst Black people. It was the hangout. This wasn't like in front of a club or,
right.
you know, something
right.
like you know, and they broke that up. They broke
wow.
that up.
Wow.
Listen to that.
Wow.
Amazing.
And
you
since
know,
that happened, and since that happened, the attendance ticking dropped. Black people
okay.
stop coming to the library like that.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
Mm.
Mm. And see, Carla, that's why I would say that those of us who are aware of these things and may even have knowledge of how to change the rules of the city there, That's when you need to step up. Because, again, you're killing that drive for learning in people's minds and their hearts. You know what I mean? Well, I don't know exactly how much they were learning, but at least I would rather see them in front of the library than a liquor store. What about you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And right now, black people looking for that spat. We searching for that spat.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We had to come together and mingle.
Right.
Interestingly enough,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
But that's when that's when the best come out of us, when we come together around. It might look negative, but some good coming out of it.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is that we have to instill discipline in ourselves first. And when we're disciplined, we can come together and be productive. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times what happens is, you know how it is when you walk up on the street and you see some other cats there, and you got to put on your tough bravado so you let nobody know you ain't no punk?
Y'all
know what I'm talking about?
Man,
well,
terrible.
When you're disciplined to know that you ain't got to, you know, you ain't got to flex or flash like you're nobody, just, you know, do you. And when brothers are under that understanding, but when you go to the street and you have that kill or kill mentality and the idea that somebody's going to run me off, or if I don't defend myself, I'm going to lose, that kind of keep you at edge, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the good news is we know better. And one of the things we're learning from Dr. Woodson is, because we were talking about how to go into a trap house caller and get somebody that's strung out. Don't necessarily have to be in the trap house. They could just be hanging out on the block, you know what I mean? How do you reach them, let them know that there's a better life, there's a way you can manage your time and be more productive so that 10, 15, 20 years from now, you can see where you've made a difference for yourself and maybe make a contribution to humanity as well. And that's really what the nature of our conversations are with Talk Straight. And I pray that those that are listening will be able to gain something from this. And let me encourage you to give me, go to our website and shoot me an email if you want to. I'd love to have you come on if you got an idea you want to share with us or something that you want to present. The website is www.bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com. And there's a where you can contact us, hit the contact tab, and just send us an email or give me a call. We'd be happy to entertain that. But at the end of the day, I know we all have something to offer. It's just a matter of bringing our best out of us and sharing it with one another. Pastor Waller, we're about 15 minutes out, man, and time is getting away from us.
Yeah, man, it's moving. It's moving, brother. I tell you, once again.
Yeah. I do want to, before we leave, I do want to raise this issue, and that is that in the grand scheme of things, we're going to live, right, and one day we're going to die. The question is, what kind of mark would we leave on humanity? Have you guys thought about that?
Exactly. Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, caller.
Like me, right? I was a little knucklehead, coming up running with the guys and everything. And now that I'm at the age where I'm at now, I can make a difference. I can look back and make a difference and really push and balance things out.
Yeah. Sometimes, caller, we look at ourselves in the mirror and become afraid of our own potential. I know that's been my case before. You know you need to get out there and do it, but there's this fear. Dang, what if I get out there and I get in there, man? I'm gonna have to keep going. You know, isn't that amazing dynamic how people become afraid of their own potential?
Yeah, I would say.
But yeah. But you know what happened to me? I went to Egypt in 2010.
Okay.
And a real explosive revolution kicked off inside of me. Yes.
Okay.
And some very shortly, you familiar with the Winter Palace right across from the Nile?
Yes, sir. I've heard of that. Never been there, but I've heard of it.
Yes. I went up in there. They got a guard shack before you walk across the yard. Before you even get into anything, you got to go past that guard shack. Guard shack. They looked at me. I looked at them. They ain't say nothing. I went inside the guard, the Winter Palace, stayed in there as long as I want, about 40-45 minutes, before one of them white Egyptian guys saw me. And this guy went catatonic. Who let you in here?
Well, man. Yeah, what? Okay.
Well, what did you tell him, Carla? What did you tell him?
I say, nobody let me in here. I walked in here.
All right.
And how long
have you been in there before they took place?
4 to 5 minutes.
Oh,
okay.
My. I guess they had to build up to say, I'm going to confront. You've been in here too long. Maybe that's something, man. So, how long? 45 minutes, man.
But look, but when I went back across the Nile where the blacks was, I told them what happened. And, man, they went crazy laughing and everything. And
is that right?
The dude told me, he said, man, you could have got beat down very severely.
Wow.
But my goodness.
Face.
Yeah. You know, but, brother, Brother, if you didn't know that you had a right to go there, your fear would have likely cheated you of an opportunity to gain that knowledge and to experience that.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. You stepped up, didn't you? And went.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we got to tell young cats. Nobody said it's going to be easy, and no one said everything was going to pan out just like you wanted. But you've got to put the work in, man. And my dad used to say all the time, a man gets what he work out for himself. And I found that to be true. You know, if you ain't willing to put no work in, what you looking for?
That's right. Don't look for nobody getting free if you don't put no work in.
Right. I mean, and I'm convinced that that's what Dr. Woodson was pushing. When he insisted that we set aside time for learning and for instruction, because people need to know what it is that's going to make the difference for themselves, and they need that encouragement, that motivation. So it's never too late, you know what I mean? It's never too late for you to advance that for yourself. But if your fear causes you not to step out there and to do what is intended for you to do, you'll miss out. You'll miss out every time.
Mm.
Every time.
You're right.
So, wow. Pastor, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I think this is good, man. I just really appreciate, you know, what the brother just said, and he just reiterate to me is that you have to be bold, you know, enough to not be afraid of yourself. And,
That
to me, you know, you have to have the confidence and to be encouraged to do that. And I commend you for what you just said. And we need more of that, you know, in our communities, brother. You know, there's a lot of people are afraid of themselves and refuse to step out and to reach out. I mean, you know, have in their heart, they really want to reach out, but afraid of themselves, you know, to the point where, man, I can't go out there. Them guys out there, they're not going to listen to me. If that's what they're saying, or, you know, thinking about what they may do to them and things like that. I mean, it's pretty tough. what you just said and say, you know, God didn't give us a spirit of fear once we learn that. You see, but if we don't know that, then that fear overtakes the people, and so they become afraid of themselves and say, let me stay locked up inside the church on that day. And then once I leave, I'll make sure that when the time for me to come back, it'll be on that day again, you know, a different date, but on the same day. That, to me, is not showing, you know, that you really care, or that you know how to care, or why is it important to care. See, there's a lot of things when the Word of God says, cast all your cares upon me. You know, and that's what he's saying. He said to do, you know, cast them upon him. In other words, look, I can handle it. Now, if he gives you instructions to say, have a concern about your community, have a concern about your neighbors, you know what I mean? Because why would he say it like this? And I shared with you all earlier, Pastor Doctor, I know the brother went on the line at that point. But it says, we then who are strong ought to bear infirmity of the weak. And not to please ourselves. That part right there of not to please ourselves, that means that you have to have a concern for others if you're strong. And what I mean by that, if you have something to offer when you leave out of a place called a church building and then you have received some strength, why ride by and see people out there scattered and not offer them an encouraging word, man? That, to me, is ludicrous. So I just believe we need to do more about it, because that man, you know, that we're talking about today, man, this brother here, he got busy. Yeah, but he got so busy, though, that other guys were saying that he was trying to do too much. I'm still right there. But the Word of God says, add to your faith. Why was this brother doing too much when he was reaching out in such a way that he was just designed to do more, you know? So right. I got a lot out of that, man. I appreciate, you know,
well,
the topic.
And if I could, Pastor, before we got about 6 minutes here for the benefit of the caller, what he's talking about, caller, is where Dr. Woodson, from his book, Miseducation of Negro, he described the difference in being educated and being trained. He said miseducation involves people being conditioned to just respond to what they're told to do and what they get an immediate reward, as opposed to being self-driven and independent in their thought and actions. That's a good way to summarize it. So tonight, it's certainly important that we focus on that. Thursday night, when we come back at 7 o'clock, we're going to have some more historical African-American figures that we will look at. And like Dr. Woodson, what we want to pull out of there is what lessons can we take to the streets in Richmond and Nashville and Birmingham and Indianapolis, Chicago, St. Louis, all those places, because there are people, caller, I think you would agree, who, if they knew better and they had someone to share with them, it's a good chance they would do a little bit better. Would you agree with that, 1249?
Yes. And see, communities is different today than versus the 70s and the 60s. Everybody knew each other. Now
right.
Don't nobody know.
They don't want to know each other.
Yeah.
They don't want to know each other. You don't know me, man. I don't know you.
Oh, my.
What you talking to me for? I don't know you, man.
Is that something, man?
But there's work to be done.
That's
definitely work to be done. Man, we got 4 minutes before we get out of here. We sure appreciate you calling us there, Richmond. I'm going to call you Richmond if I can. please be sure to join us again, man. Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m. right here on Block Talk Straight. We'll be happy to have you join us in another dialogue. I'm going to try to have a guest or two on Thursday as well to kind of participate in the conversation, but we appreciate you calling, man, and want you to know you got a home here. We reckon we appreciate you. Go ahead. What were we gonna say?
Yeah, yeah, we really appreciate him calling in, man.
Yeah, yeah. This is what motivates me. This is what motivates me. And right now, I'm learning that patience, to apply myself with the brothers and sisters out there. You know, I'm trying to be my best every day, you know.
Right, right, right. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Pastor, give me a final thought here before we get out of here. We're going to leave our message and we'll cut out here for tonight.
Yeah, man, I want to thank Dr. Woodson, man, and the brothers that called in, and Pastor Dockery for you bringing forth that type of information to make sure we don't become lazy at the thought of being able to do more. So that was
right.
Outstanding, man. You know, the Word of God said, "Where there's two or three gathered together in my name."
What?
He said, "There I'll be in the midst of them." That's what he said. So I believe he was in the midst of this, and we deserve to embrace knowing that we can add to our faith, do all that we can do for others, man, because it's beneficial to understand how it is to have compassion on the weak. And if we have to be strong in some area, share it with someone else, man. You just never know how effective it may be to someone else. And that's what I have to share. Glory
right.
to God.
Well, we appreciate that's a good final word here. Join us Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m., for another episode of Talk Straight, where we will present another historical case study, things that we can learn from. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Pastor Ricky Wallace been with us, and our good friend from Richmond, Virginia, calling in. Join us again Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m., right here on Talk Straight, Central Standard Time. And we will see you then.
Hello, listening Hello. Audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities in urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.